Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way.
Had a pleasant good morning and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that may be listening in this morning. Hope you have a great day today. This is Pat Githens, and this is Freedom's Call. This morning we'll be reading in the book of John in chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. I mentioned these scriptures the other day when we were talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. We're going to revisit them this morning. And we're going to talk about Mary for a few minutes, the mother of Jesus, the earthly mother of Jesus. And what a tremendous honor God bestowed upon her to be the mother of the Godchild, Jesus Christ. God that became flesh and dwelt among us. And God chose Mary to be the mother to give birth to the Godchild, Jesus Christ, who was to be and is the Savior of mankind for those who will call upon His name for salvation. And so it is that we're going to discuss Mary for a few minutes this morning. But we begin reading here at the cross. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw His mother, and the disciples standing by whom He loved, He saith unto His mother, Woman, behold thy son. And then saith He to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own house. Well, we have five disciples of Jesus Christ standing right at the foot of the cross or nearby, close enough that Jesus can speak to them. Now, the other scriptures say that there was a lot of these women that followed them to the hill called Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified. But obviously, they were standing somewhat back. But these five were standing probably right at the very foot of the cross, as close as they could get, where Jesus could speak to them. And as He saw His mother there, He spoke to her and called her woman. Now, this disciple that Jesus loved is none other than the Apostle John. And we've already said that three of the women that were there were named Mary, one being his mother, and this man was John the Apostle. Now, John is the only one of the four gospel records that mentions Jesus' mother being at the cross. And as I said, as Jesus sees her, He does not address her as mother, but He addresses her as woman. Now, this is the second time that John records Jesus calling His mother woman. The first time was at that marriage feast in John chapter 2, and then again here in John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. Now, this is kind of a strange thing. When He looks at His mother, He doesn't say, Mother, I am providing another home for you. You're going to go and live with John. And he says, Behold your son. Now referring to John being her son. And then to John, He says, Behold your mother. And so from that time on, John took her home with him. And she was to live in his house. But He doesn't say mother. He says woman. Now, this is not being courteous to His mother. Jesus, I believe, is emphasizing that He is the Son of God. And John, this book of John, portrays Christ, His deity. And He is God. He is the Son of God. And so His relationship to Mary is now no longer as a human son, but as her Lord and her Savior. He is going to even be her intercessor in heaven. And she, like anybody else that's ever been redeemed in Christ, will recognize the fact that he is her Savior and that she worships him not as a son, but she worships him as her God, the Son of God. So I believe here the earthly mother-son relationship is coming to a close. It's ending. And there's a different type of relationship between Mary and Jesus Christ. Now, she's been a good mother, obviously. From the time that Jesus was born, she loved that child. She loved that child as her human baby. She loved that child because he is the Savior that came into the world to save those that would call upon him for salvation. Now, she has been his earthly mother for 33 and a half years, and she is taking the rightful place of a mother as he is being crucified. There she is at the foot of the cross. She's right there with him. And don't you know that she's suffering as any mother would suffer seeing her son in such a condition? And so Jesus is providing for her her future life on the earth. As he prepares to go into heaven, he's making a way for her here on earth to continue with her life here on earth until it's her time to join him in heaven. But she will not be joining him in heaven as mother, but she will be joining him in heaven as being one of the redeemed and he being the redeemer. Now, there's something else interesting here that we look at today, and that is that Mary's not even mentioned in Scripture at the tomb of Jesus, the resurrection. Several women, and she may be one of those women, I don't know, that went to the tomb, but the Bible does not mention her by name there at the tomb of Jesus on resurrection morning. In fact, the only other time that she's referred to in the New Testament from the time of the crucifixion forward is in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, where she has joined others in a prayer meeting. Now, she is not being over those people. She is one of them. They are not there worshiping Mary, but they are there with Mary. Mary's with them, and they're all in this prayer meeting praying to God. I think John MacArthur writes a very interesting article in his commentary on the book of John, and I'm going to share it with you here. Mary was a woman of singular virtue, or she would never have been chosen to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. For that role, she deserves respect and honor. Luke 1:42. But she was a sinner who exalted God, her Savior. She referred to herself as a humble bond slave to God who needed mercy, Luke 1:46 through 50. To offer prayers to her and elevate her to a role of as co-redemptrix with Christ is to go beyond the bounds of Scripture and her own confession. The silence of the epistles, which form the doctrinal core of the New Testament, about Mary is especially significant. If she played the important role in salvation assigned her by the Roman Catholic Church, or if she were to receive prayers as an intercessor between believers and Christ, surely the New Testament would have spelled that out. Nor do such Roman Catholic teachings as her virgin birth and bodily assumption into heaven find any biblical support. They are fabrications. Well, I certainly agree with that. Mary is to be honored because she was chosen of God to be the earthly mother of Jesus Christ, but she's not to be worshipped. We do not direct our prayers to her because she was just a woman, a special woman, an honored woman, a chosen woman, but she was still just a woman, and she found grace in the eyes of God. He bestowed grace upon her. Now, we know that Mary was a virgin, chosen by God to give birth to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And as I said, she found favor with God, which means that God's grace was bestowed upon her. And she gave birth to Jesus, and after he was born, she and Joseph had other children. Now, that's important to know. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 55 through 56, it plainly states that they had other children. Jesus had brothers and sisters. So therefore, after Jesus was born, she and Joseph came together as a normal husband and wife and had other children. So therefore, she was no longer a virgin. There is no such thing as the perpetual virginity of Mary. So she could not be considered today as the Virgin Mary. If you're going to insist on calling her that, you simply are referring to the time that she was a young virgin whom God chose her to have to give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ as he became man and dwelt among us. And so it is that her virginity ended after Jesus was born and she and her husband had other children. Now, Mary is not a co-redemptrix with Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? She's not a savior. She can't save anybody. She was a sinner saved by grace just like the rest of us. And she has no saving power. She's not elevated to the place of being a savior. And so she cannot be a co-redemptrix with Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's no other name by which man can be saved, Acts 4:12. So that name is Jesus, not Mary. Jesus is the only one who can save. And the only way to heaven is through Jesus. In John 14:6, he says, I am the way. So we know that Mary is not a co-redemptrix with Christ. Mary is not an intercessor. Jesus makes intercession for his people according to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. And then finally, I would tell you this morning that Mary is not the Queen of Heaven. Over in the Old Testament, we find that there were pagan goddesses that had that title, the Queen of Heaven. And we also read in the Old Testament account of that where the people of Israel had gone to the place where they worshiped the Queen of Heaven, and God judged them for making round cakes to the Queen of Heaven. So he did not approve of the Queen of Heaven. In fact, he condemned the worship of the Queen of Heaven, where there was no such thing. These were pagan goddesses that had that title. Well, later, when Constantine made Christianity the accepted religion of the Roman Empire, later Rome brought some of this paganism into their midst, and the title of the Queen of Heaven was bestowed upon Mary. God never bestowed that name upon Mary. She was never given that title by God, and she is not the Queen of Heaven. And to worship her is a sin. And we do not need to pray to her because she's not an intercessor. Only Jesus Christ is our intercessor. Well, anyway, she was a wonderful mother to Jesus. She's to be honored, but she's not to be worshiped. And certainly we're not to pray to her. That's all the time I have this morning. And I want to thank you for joining us. Happy Mother's Day to all of you.